This broadcast is sponsored by His Way Out Ministries with our home base of ministry operation in Bakersfield, California. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please visit HisWayOut.com.
Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, "Once gay, always gay." How do you respond? "My child just told me he's gay. What can I do?" What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Of all the challenges that we face as a church in today's society, sexuality is undoubtedly one of the greatest. Yet the church has not always been quick to accept or even recognize the challenge. In fact, at various times the church has denied, ignored, and perhaps rightly feared it. However, if as Christ followers being fully and unconditionally committed to the entire Word of God and valuing our call to be the salt and light of society, then we must come to terms with the rapidly changing sexual scene around us. Make no mistake, the scene is an alarming one. Webster's Dictionary defines crisis as a situation that has reached a critical phase. By that definition, I would argue that a concurrence of circumstances, including the issues raised by homosexuality, the challenges they present the church, and the church's handling and at times mishandling of the matter, have combined to create, as Webster's put it, a situation that has reached a critical phase. Even if you and I do not see sexual sin as an important issue, the subject of homosexuality might seem tame next to others. Compare homosexuality to abortion, the taking of an innocent life, or to teen pregnancy with its tragic repercussions, or to the wounds inflicted by molestation, or to the glaring evil of forced prostitution. Next to these, a consensual erotic relationship between two consenting adults of the same sex might seem mild. Wrong, perhaps, but maybe not worth verbalizing or addressing. What accounts for the sexual shifts in our society? Today, it really does seem anything goes. There is no right or wrong. Not only this, but personal morals are equated with civil and legal rights. In the 1960s, "Sex Makes Free" was a very familiar found graffiti. Sex was often viewed and hailed as a universal fix for loneliness and human emptiness. Today, sex is looked upon more as a constitutionally guaranteed right, a right to fulfill one's biological drives however one sees fit, a right to dismiss, if not discard, a spouse for greener pastures, and a right to pursue any sexual orientation one desires. Sex is viewed as something that is morally neutral, with the fulfillment of sexual needs being put on the same level and fulfillment of other body needs like eating and sleeping. It's merely just another part of good nurturing for the body. In this current climate, I believe the faithful Christian church is called by God to assert its biblical position that sexuality is God's good gift, that sexually chaste relationships are both possible and desirable, and that sexual passion is designed to be expressed only between a man and a woman in the context of lifetime marriage. Ultimately, search the totality of Scripture, and you will not find even one positive statement about homosexuality in any form, to any degree. Those who attempt to support homosexual practice from the Bible use approaches to the Bible that do not support the understandings historically held by the Christian church. Many theologians who support homosexual practice reinterpret Scripture in a variety of ways. For example, they reinterpret Romans chapter 1 as only condemning homosexual practice in the context of idol worship. But they miss the obvious fact that Paul is condemning, among other things, the idolizing of sex itself. They emphasize that Jesus did not speak specifically against homosexuality, but neither did he speak against rape or child molestation. And yet Christians believe these practices go against biblical principles. Pro-gay apologists, pro-gay theologians, and revisionists of Scripture all but dismiss the importance and significance of in the beginning. If we were to take time to open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, which I often refer to as God's blueprint for human sexuality, we would see that God clearly had a divine intent for human sexuality from the beginning. After creating man, God creates a suitable helper, the perfect complement, a woman, and then returns the woman to the man as his perfect complement. Now please note, after God created, set everything up, after creating the woman, the perfect complement for the man, he did not also create another man, then bring that man and woman before Adam and say, "Now you choose." Choice was never given. So let's turn our attention for a few moments to, scripturally speaking, what do we know about homosexuality? According to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, through Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, we see very clearly that we are created beings with a created specific intent. According to Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, the scriptures tell us God's divine intent for human sexuality is fulfilled with the covenant of a monogamous and heterosexual union. We also find in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19, that we're a fallen race, and the fall has distorted every part of our experience, including our sexual preference. Also, within 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, the scriptures tell us clearly that homosexuality is a manifestation of fallen nature, and it violates created intent. And finally, we know, per the authority of Scripture, that homosexuals, like all people, are redeemable, and change is possible. And that is according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. It is imperative, it is vital that we identify and understand present currents that are coming against the church if we hope to navigate congregations to safe ground and establish them as outposts of recovery for the needy, the hurting, the wounded, and the drowning people that you and I, God has called us to reach. Today, few subjects are as fraught with confusion as the topic of homosexuality. A great many personal opinions crowd conversations when it comes to the whole subject matter. Many people are misinformed, repeat false information, and form conclusions based upon feelings, notions, and opinions rather than biblical fact. Today, a problem seems to rest not in truth itself, but the finding of truth. Truth, if it is truth, is not relative, cannot be misinterpreted, not undiscoverable, but truth can be denied. We might not like the truth, but let us never allow someone to tell us that we cannot have or understand the truth. Personally, I find truth when I accept it to be amazing. I have the choice to believe it or deny it. I can be moved, enlightened, or stay ignorant, undecided, maybe even a bit frightened. In order to have what is truth answered, I first choose to accept that truth is out there and available to me. My personal acquisition of truth defines me, and I believe makes me a far better person. A fact is merely a fact in and of itself. Truth, however, requires a personal involvement, a commitment to accept. A fact does not change me, but truth does. Facts simply give me knowledge, but truth gives me a changed life to make things I care about much, much better. For true truth seekers wanting to understand homosexuality, whether Christian or not, a turning to the Holy Scriptures is vital and necessary. Always remembering, when God speaks a word on any topic, He speaks the final word. The prophet Isaiah and the apostle Paul warned of the days to come in which evil would be paraded as good and good as evil. The day has come. The ethical ideals of our society have become so warped that moral vice is openly defended against virtue. Personally, I remain convinced that everything that has transpired regarding homosexuality and the many related issues and everything that continues to unfold given this present crisis of truth, we the church must refuse to be pressured by it all. We must not allow a minority or even a majority to dictate to us, the church, what our standards will be. Our standards as faithful followers of Christ Jesus must come from a higher authority. Ultimately, the real menace of society is not those who oppose immorality, but those who promote it. Clearly, things have gone much, much too far. While we must not take the law into our own hands, we can, we will, and we must refuse to allow immorality to become acceptable. Now, I want to be abundantly clear. This is not gay bashing. This is commitment to a higher authority. This is but one responsibility of holiness. That said, it's imperative the church reach out in love and compassion with a message of forgiveness and the extension of grace to those who sin sexually, be it premarital, extramarital, or homosexual activity, or the lust for such activity. Those involved in sexual sin may indeed be our brothers and sisters, our sons and our daughters, and they need the help of the church to know and follow God's plan for bringing their sexuality under the lordship of Christ Jesus. The church must not underestimate itself. It holds the only answer there is to our present state and crisis. We, the church, must realize that God intended us to be the answer to the very long, long list of critical issues in life. It's just so ironic that for many men and women struggling with same-sex attraction, that many often enter what many refer to as a gay lifestyle, to find the very things that the church should have in abundance. Therefore, in all fairness, I do believe we, the church, owe the gay community a huge apology. Let's remember, when you and I call ourselves a Christian, we are, or we should be, qualifying and clearly stating that we are faithful followers of Christ Jesus and all of his teachings. Meaning, you and I, as a Christian, embrace the totality of Scripture or not at all. We do not have the luxury of randomly selecting portions of Scripture and possibly rejecting or discarding the rest. Today, I believe all faithful followers of Christ have to face this ultimate and final question. Do I accept the Bible as the Word of God as the sole authority in all matters of faith and practice, or do I not? Do I accept Scripture as a revelation from God, or do I trust to speculation, human knowledge, human learning, human understanding, and human reasons? Or putting it more simply, do I pin my faith to and subject all my thinking to what I read in the Bible? As a pastor, you may have seen how homosexuality impacts the people you shepherd. You have met parents whose sons or daughters have just come out to them, resulting in an intense struggle with a myriad of emotions and questions. And as their pastor, you want to give them counsel that is both compassionate and practical. Someone you might love might be identifying as gay, and you're wondering how, as a Bible-believing Christian, you can keep a bond with this person without compromising your beliefs and moral position. You yourself could be a Christian who is attracted to the same sex, having engaged in many years of struggle with feelings and emotions and temptations you neither desired or chose, wondering what, if anything, you can do. Maybe you are a concerned Christian viewing the issue of homosexuality as a cutting-edge issue, one you face on the job, at school, or wherever you interact with the culture. You want to better understand the biblical perspective on homosexuality so you can persuasively articulate it. You want to reason with people, function as an ambassador for Christ, and always be ready to give an answer to anyone willing to discuss the Christian view on this current issue. A statement I am offered frequently, in particular by youth struggling with the brokenness of same-sex attraction, is, "I am so troubled and confused. There are so many mixed messages being generated about homosexuality. Where do I find truth?" Every time, without fail, the statement grieves me because it depicts and reflects the desperate crisis we face with regard to youth struggling with and combating the brokenness of same-sex attraction. Christian youth, in particular, often find themselves caught in the middle. Do they hold to the instructions and clarity of Scripture, church, and parents? Or do they reject their faith convictions as outdated and accept what I will label as a new morality? To each of the groups I've mentioned, homosexuality matters. While it matters so much and to so many, I would be remiss in not also stating just how much it matters to God. I regard both the Old and the New Testaments as authoritative, much like the Apostle Paul did when he affirmed in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Speaking as an individual who spent 17 years in the considerable gay communities of Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New York City, I remain greatly concerned regarding the many inaccuracies being offered and reported, endeavoring to promote the gay is good notion and the civil rights of gay men and women. The truth about homosexual practice must be spoken, and it must be spoken in love. That is, with compassion, understanding, and also with the full and complete knowledge that truth is not always a pleasant and soothing balm. I would submit that what matters morally, psychologically, and physically must be determined on the basis of our best understanding about what ultimately constitutes human well-being. Therefore, the facts and truth with regard to homosexual practice depends upon our facing reality honestly, compassionately, and courageously. I hope, I continue to pray, we all would put the Word of God in its proper place. The 138th Psalm says, "I will praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your Word above your name." Clearly, obviously, God thinks highly of His name, but He has magnified His Word even above His name, and so should we all. Truth is, and truth matters greatly to God. Truthless grace, I would submit, accomplishes absolutely nothing. We're all in the same boat. We just happen to sit on different planks. Clearly, we are all unrighteous and need a Savior to cleanse us and to lead us into His right way of living and being. God remains the architect and the builder of our righteousness. He not only gives us His plan for living, but the ability to carry it out as well. Our present crisis of truth has not been, nor is it presently, about, ultimately, homosexuality. The true crisis is about the authority of Scripture and the Lordship of Christ. And I also want to share, and please hear me clearly, silence does not equal love. Today, faithfulness, obedience, allegiance and courage require the telling of truth that is often not comfortable, and today, the days in which you and I live, telling the truth often is not safe to tell. While a segment of the church continues to consciously and deliberately avoid the subject of homosexuality, God, however, is not silent and has never been silent. As true faithful followers of Christ Jesus, again, we take the Bible in its entirety or not at all. You and I do not have the luxury of randomly selecting portions of Scripture and discarding the rest. God's Word is not a thing that a person can push around at their convenience. The Bible is a voice, a word, the very word of the living God. The church must call homosexual practice sin, and there is no doubt that that will remain offensive to many. But we cannot water down God's word. There is no doubt our courage will be tested. There will even be times when some must stand alone and defend what is right. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. As Paul said to Timothy, "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me." Maybe more than ever, a true faithful follower of Christ has crucified his rights and is willing to be completely and fully led by God's Spirit. He fears God. That is, he has a healthy awe and respect for God and does not take God lightly. We, as God's people, should not be out to advance the claims of a church, of a nation, of an ideology, but of Jesus himself. There can be no true compassion, integrity, and outreach if the name, the teachings, the promises, the life, the death, the resurrection, and the transformative power of the Holy Spirit are not proclaimed, and proclaimed boldly and virtually to the untouched mission field called the gay community. Listen to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." What is stopping so many today in defending the authority of Scripture with regard to homosexual practice? Is it fear of being beaten in an argument? Fear of not knowing what to say? Fear of messing it all up? Such fears are groundless. Christians ultimately are not in the business of winning the argument. People have never been, nor they are now, nor will they ever be argued into the kingdom of God. What is eloquent and pierces a heart and soul is the personal testimony of someone whose life has been transformed by Christ Jesus. This is exactly what excites and captivates the imagination and interest of an individual. Not being well-versed or educated on the subject of homosexuality is no excuse for remaining silent. We each have our own story to tell. Few things are more effective than people who learn how to be a friend who loves at all times, according to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. While not being afraid to uphold God's truth, that better is open rebuke than hidden love, Proverbs 27, verse 5. I would submit that the calamity and dilemma that many professing Christians have today with regard to homosexuality is not unlike a time when Elijah spoke and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord God is your God, then follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." But the people said nothing. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Today, more than ever, we are in need of Christians that will not sidestep truth or grace, but offer crystal clear truth on a host of issues, including homosexuality, toward every person. Frankly, this is exactly what the church was called to be from the beginning, and it is exactly what people are looking for today. Many know and understand the importance and the significance of reaching the unreached peoples around the world for Christ Jesus. What about the unreached homosexual population? We, the Christian community, have a lot to learn about bringing Jesus to the gays and lesbians, who hopefully will one day knock at the doors of our churches. How about, if you struggle with homosexuality and you're feeling trapped, there is hope. Come on into church and investigate the root causes of your struggle with homosexuality. We will walk with you as you look past the surface, deep into your own heart, and consider God's will for your life. It is the clarity of the Holy Scriptures that should compel each and every faithful follower of Christ Jesus to be light where there is darkness, rather than hiding our witness from those who are in need of it. Luke 6:45 tells us, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." If we truly care about the eternal destination of a multitude of men and women ensnared and deceived by the brokenness of same-sex attraction, we will not be silent. Silence cannot and must not be an option. Consider in closing, did God keep himself in icy isolation from your predicament? Did he say he or she is probably all right just as they are? The ultimate issue for the homosexual is the same as it is for every individual. Where do they stand? Are they dead in sin or alive in Christ? Therefore, we must not withdraw. We must not be silent. I want to invite all of our listeners today to please take time to visit the His Way Out Ministries website. Our website address is hiswayout.com. There you will find a huge library of information offering articles, testimonies, educational videos, a huge selection of various workshops and educational seminars that we offer. All the information offered on our website is our gift to the body of Christ. Please copy it, download it, pass it along to a friend. Take time once again to visit hiswayout.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I hope that you'll tune in and join me again next Saturday, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.
This broadcast is sponsored by His Way Out Ministries with our home base of ministry operation in Bakersfield, California. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please visit hiswayout.com.